I'm excited about the paperback version of Darwin's Doubt because the publishers allowed me to write a chapter responding to the main critics of the book. And I think this is exciting because it's really going to advance the debate.
So says Stephen Meyer, the author of the explosive New York Times bestseller Darwin's Doubt, which is now being released in an expanded paperback version. In Darwin's Doubt, Meyer lays out the amazing scientific evidence for intelligent design at the dawn of animal life. And he reveals the debates going on among top scientists about Darwin's theory, debates that the mainstream media ignore. Darwin's Doubt has just been released in paperback with a brand new chapter. Get Darwin's Doubt today at darwinsdoubt.com. That's darwinsdoubt.com.
Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we have on the show with us a very special guest, somebody who I've gotten to know a little bit over the last couple years, who I hold in very high regard and who I think has a lot of interesting things to say. His name is Doug L. He graduated from MIT with an undergraduate degree in math and physics, and then got a master's degree from the University of Maryland studying theoretical math, and then he became a lawyer. So, Doug, you and I share somewhat similar backgrounds in that we started off studying the sciences and technical fields and then went into law. And Doug has then spent about the last 30 years thinking about questions related to God and science. So, Doug, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Thank you, Casey. I'm really pleased to be here.
Well, we're here to talk about a book that Doug has written titled Counting to God, A Personal Journey Through Science to Belief. And this is a book that I want to commend to our readers. It's a book that tells Doug's personal story of how he, well, I'll let you tell the story, Doug, but it tells his personal story, his journey of being somebody who was a religious believer and then losing that faith because of science, then ultimately coming back to that faith also because of the scientific evidence for intelligent design. It's a very compelling personal story, and it also talks a lot about the fascinating scientific evidence that supports intelligent design from the perspective of someone who's been through this journey and seen it from all sides of the issue. So, Doug, I want to ask you some questions about your book, which has just been published by Attitude Media. I want to ask you some questions about the book so that our readers can get a feel for your own personal story and hopefully get interested in checking out your book. So, you open your book, Counting to God, with a question. You write, do you think we live in a meaningless universe and human beings were created by accident? Or do you think we live in a universe designed and created by a great intelligence and human beings were designed? Accident or design, that is the question. What do you think? And that is a question that, Doug, you have spent a whole bunch of your life wrestling with. So could you tell us some of your own story, which of course you relate in the book, but how have you changed your own personal views on those questions over time? What caused them to change? What happened during your undergraduate studies at MIT that caused you to lose faith? Tell us your story, Doug.
Thanks, Casey. Well, I've come full circle in thinking about this. As a child, I had a strong belief in God. But then when I came to be a teenager, I ended up starting a process of turning away from God. I was kind of a really nerdy math and science kid. And as I got older, I began to think that science had all the answers and religion was more of a superstition. I would say that happened mostly to me in high school, but then when I went on to MIT, I came to view religion as unscientific and more of a superstition. I think I continued to get confused. Like millions of other people in our society, I mistook a belief system, which is commonly called scientism, you know, the belief that science is everything and there's nothing outside science, with what science really is, which is just trying to figure it out, experimentation, observation, and logic. And now, as I say, I've come full circle. I strongly concluded that science supports belief in God.
Well, I think that your experience is not uncommon, Doug, but I think that you are interesting in that you ultimately came back to faith because of the scientific evidence, which also is a story we've heard from a lot of people over the years, but perhaps some folks that are in the earlier phase of what you're talking about with walking away from faith might find it surprising to hear that you can come back to faith after discovering or rediscovering the scientific evidence. So let's maybe talk about some of that evidence that brought you back to thinking that religion was credible. What was your first introduction to intelligent design, and why did you find it persuasive?
Well, I work as a lawyer in Washington, D.C., and about 10 years ago, I read an article in a legal journal about another lawyer who was defending intelligent design. And that was the first I heard of it. I was instantly attracted to the concept because from my own reading and thinking about it, mostly in cosmology and physics. So I invited this other lawyer to lunch, and he invited me to Boston in 2005 for a debate on intelligent design at Boston University. And I met Bill Dembski, who you well know, Casey, with a mathematical background, which certainly appealed to me with my math background. And I just wanted to learn more, and I started reading everything I could on intelligent design.
Broadly speaking, I know when I read your book, you identify two main areas of evidence that you cite as helping to re-inspire your belief in God, and that was coming from biology and cosmology. Which of those two lines of evidence did you discover first, and which do you find more persuasive personally?
Well, I discovered cosmology first. I mean, I've always been interested in astronomy and in the origin and structure of the universe from a very small kid. Biology came later. But, you know, it's interesting, Casey. Now I find the biological evidence far more persuasive.
Now, I know that you talk in your book about how we know the universe is expanding, and this provides evidence for design. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on this for our listeners?
Sure. It's interesting how beliefs on the universe have also come full circle. You know, for over 2,000 years, through Aristotle, Newton, and even Einstein in his earlier years, the prevailing paradigm was that we live in an eternal and infinite universe. Then in 1914, an American astronomer finds out that some of these fuzzy patches in the sky are moving away from us real fast. They have redshift. And in the 1920s, Edwin Hubble looks at them and finds out that they're entire galaxies. And he creates a chart that the furthest galaxies are moving away the fastest. It's a linear relationship. You know, the galaxies twice as far away are moving away twice as fast. And all of a sudden, everybody realizes that if you play that movie of time backwards, you end up with everything starting in about the same place and about the same time. A theory that was sarcastically called at the time the Big Bang Theory. Well, the Big Bang Theory is obviously now accepted by pretty much all scientists. But again, it's interesting to see that after the Big Bang Theory was proposed, you had this immediate science of the gap theories called the steady state theory that, oh, matter was just created out in the voids, and somehow these galaxies moving away gave the appearance of design, appearance of creation. You know, the idea of matter being created from nothing violates the first law of thermodynamics and all of science. But that argument continued strong for decades until discovery of the photons from the Big Bang, so-called cosmic microwave radiation, which, I don't know, Casey, if you saw recent articles on gravity waves and findings, but it's clearly very accepted now that the universe had a beginning. And what that means is that all of space and time and all the matter and energy that has ever existed and will ever exist were created in a single instant from absolute nothingness.
And that's pretty striking, Doug. Obviously, that's reminiscent of the way a lot of religions describe the origin of the universe. And I'm sure that was very impactful on you when you were seeking what the evidence really says on science and faith. Doug, what about the multiverse? I know that you talk about the problem of fine-tuning. Why do you find the evidence for fine-tuning convincing, and why do you find the multiverse to be a difficult solution to that problem?
Well, that's a great question, Casey. And the fine-tuning just appealed to me instantly from my mathematical background. It's now commonly accepted by all scientists that there are dozens of constants in our universe that are set exactly right. It's like all the dials in the control room of the universe are set precisely for life and for our existence here. You know, the analogy is that it's like throwing a dart to the other side of the universe and hitting a bullseye a millimeter in diameter. And actually, mathematically, it's a lot finer than that. Why do the proton, the neutron, and the electron exist and combine to form all the chemicals of our world? Why are there four fundamental forces? Why are there three dimensions of space and one of time, and so on and so on? What causes it all to be so perfect? And so the latest science of the gaps, as I call it, that's been invented to counter proven fact of fine-tuning is, as you say, Casey, this concept of the multiverse. And the multiverse rests on three assumptions that I find hard to believe. The first is, to get away from the concept of creation, you have to believe that there are infinite number of universes and that universes can create other universe. And you need an infinite number so that there's no first universe, okay? There's no first cause, no God brought it all into being. Well, infinity is a pretty tricky issue mathematically. If there's any probability whatsoever of creating a universe like ours, then there are an infinite number of universes exactly like ours. If there's any chance that you and I are talking now in an infinite number of universes, we're having this conversation, Casey, an infinite number of times. And I find the concept of infinity hard to believe. You also have to believe in the multiverse that there's some way to change all these constants and laws of physics, and nobody has any idea how you do that, but it's believed that it's possible if you believe in the multiverse. And you have to believe that all of this infinite number of universes exist for no reason, which I also find difficult to believe. I mean, I can see how a person can believe in the multiverse. I just can't get there myself.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, Doug, and I've always found the multiverse to be sort of a science stopper, because once you just start inventing however many multiverses you need to solve scientific problems, essentially it destroys your ability to do scientific investigation. If you have some unlikely solution, you can just say, oh, well, maybe we're just in a lucky universe that had the right conditions for that particular event to take place, rather than actually seeking a scientific explanation. So I've always felt that the multiverse really was not a solution at all. In fact, one of the points that Bruce Gordon, one of our Discovery Institute fellows, makes that I enjoy talking to him, he's a philosophy of physics PhD, so he's a pretty smart guy, and he makes the point that the mechanisms that materialists will invoke to propose the multiverse, they require fine-tuning themselves. So even those who propose the multiverse, they cannot get away from the fine-tuning. Well, Doug, I'm afraid we're running out of time for this first podcast, but I want to commend our listeners that if you are interested in a easy-to-read lay book on the evidence for intelligent design that contains a compelling personal story of a person's journey away from faith and then back to faith because of the scientific evidence, check out this book by Doug L. Again, the title is Counting to God, A Personal Journey Through Science to Belief. And the website where you can find more about the book is www.countingtogod.com. The author is Doug L., who holds degrees from MIT and the University of Maryland in math and physics. He knows what he's talking about, and he knows how to communicate it, partly because he is also an attorney now for the last 30 years, and he's very good at, I think, communicating some of these scientific concepts and the arguments for and against intelligent design. Although, Doug, I think you make a very compelling case for intelligent design in the book. So stay tuned for more with Doug L. on ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.